The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Administration will be the one ultimately that implements a lot of the distribution of this vaccine and will oversee much of the future of the way Operation Warp Speed goes forward. Why not include members of the Biden transition team as part of this summit that you're hosting today?
Well, we're going to have to see who the next administration is, because we won in those swing states, and there was terrible things that went on. So we're going to have to see who the next administration is. And hopefully the next administration will be the Trump administration, because you can't steal hundreds of thousands of votes. You can't have fraud and deception and all of the things that they did, and then slightly win a swing state. And you just have to look at the numbers, look at what's been on tape, look at all the corruption, and we'll see. You can't win an election like that. So hope all of the things we've done, and we were rewarded with a victory. Now let's see whether or not somebody has the courage, whether it's a legislator or legislatures, or whether it's a justice of the Supreme Court or a number of justices of the Supreme Court. Let's see if they have the courage to do what everybody in this country knows is right. If somebody has the courage, I know who the next administration will be.
There's your president, Donald Trump, from I believe that was Tuesday, three times saying if someone has the courage to step up and do what's right. My father, remember, he's talked about this president, how that he's proven that he's willing to take a stand where others will not. He said, everybody knows what happened here. But are we going to have some legislatures? Are we going to have some Supreme Court justices step up? That's the question. It's going, as I said yesterday, it's going right down to the wire. It's hard to keep up with all that's happening. So much every single day. We've got a lot to get to on today's program. Welcome to the show, by the way. You're listening to the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. We've got lots to get into. The YouTube censorship continues. Explosive revelations about Hunter Biden, just a little bit late, 6 weeks late, but still, we'll get to that as well. We've got a lot on the Chinese espionage ring as well. Fallout continues from what we learned yesterday about Eric Swalwell and others. But first, who has the courage? That was the president on Tuesday, basically asking the Supreme Court, are you strong enough? Are you courageous enough to do what's right? This Texas complaint, even though, again, it's being dismissed. I'll play a clip from Rachel Maddow in a second. She says it's insane. But this complaint, the state of Texas, suing four swing states, Georgia, Pennsylvania, Michigan, and Wisconsin. There's now 18 other states, 18 other U.S. states that have joined on, that have declared their support. In other words, that's 19 attorneys general from 19 states that are basically stepping forward and telling the Supreme Court, this election was rigged. This has never happened in the history of the United States. I mean, we knew even before these last couple of days, we knew that there was no presidential election like the one we just witnessed on November the 3rd. But now you see the Texas lawsuit. It's gaining traction. I played the clip for you yesterday, Jay Sekulow, other attorneys, other commentators that are saying, well, this one has teeth. This is the one they're worried about. the Democrats, because this has the ability to flip the entire thing. All of these other cases, they could change this or that state. But here comes one that can flip all of it, all four of these states. And then it's in the hands of the legislatures. I think it's interesting. President Trump on Monday, December 7th, this is the same day that that suit was filed, by the way. It was our 31st anniversary, the anniversary of the Philadelphia Church of God. But on Monday, you'll remember, I played the clip Tuesday for you, the president saying that, well, look, the case has been made. The case has already been made. And now we'll see what happens in the next few days. We'll see what happens. He predicted that some big things would be happening over the next couple of days. Here we are on Thursday, and 19 states in total, 19 states representing about over 100 million Americans. 19 states, you've heard some of the polling that, well, 52-53%, they don't believe it was rigged. 48% believe it was rigged. I think it's higher than that. These are just 19 states. They're always off with the polling. It always seems to go against the individual that they don't like. But even still, 48%, half of the country believes it was stolen. Half of the country believes it was rigged. Sean Davis tweeted out yesterday, the most deranged and delusional conspiracy theory surrounding the 2020 election is that there was zero vote fraud. That's a conspiracy theory. If ever there was one, that's total derangement. For people to get up like Krebs, he said it was perfect. He said it was the most secure election in history. And Georgia representatives have said much the same. Jeff Duncan, he's the perfect man for the TV camera. Very smooth operator for sure. And then behind the scenes, look out, because they are applying a lot of pressure and intimidating those state legislators behind closed doors. Duncan, Raffensperger, Governor Kemp, all of them. I'll come to Georgia a little bit later as well. Let me just read to you a little bit from this Texas lawsuit that was filed on Monday night. It's you know, we've been told that it was more about the unconstitutional actions of those four states, and that's certainly true. We've been told that this one is just really focused on the unlawful activity, the illegal activity. And it doesn't focus as much on the voter fraud. But the thing that's really pretty amazing about this brief is that there is a summary of what happened in each state. And so you get like a snapshot of some of the things that we've discussed on this program and that you've seen at websites and such. All of the keeping the poll watchers away, ballots being dumped in the middle of the night, intimidation and so on. The fact that there's no signature checks. And all of these things are referred to. The brief actually goes, after it sort of lays it out there, what happened and how the rest of the country was wronged by this, it then breaks it down into each of those four states. Here's just a sampling of what happened. But before that, this is how it opens. It says, "Our country stands at an important crossroads. Either the Constitution matters and must be followed, even when some officials consider it inconvenient or out of date, or it's simply a piece of parchment on display at the National Archives." It says, "We ask the court to choose the former." That's from the complaint. Look, are we gonna abide by the Constitution or not? Are we going to follow the Constitution or not? And if COVID-19 is used as a pretext or an excuse to do away with the Constitution, well, what other excuses are going to start coming up? It continues, "Here's what we know. Using the COVID-19 pandemic as a justification, government officials In the defendant states of Georgia, Michigan, and Wisconsin, and the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, the defendant states usurped their legislature's authority and unconstitutionally revised their state's election statutes. They accomplished these statutory revisions through executive fiat or friendly lawsuits, thereby weakening ballot integrity. It says, finally, these same government officials flooded the defendant states with millions of ballots to be sent through the mail or placed in drop boxes with little or no chain of custody, and at the same time weakened the strongest security measures protecting the integrity of the vote, signature verification and witness requirements. Those were out the window. And then just flooding the state with all of these ballots. And that, of course, opening the way for all of this fraudulent activity. Paragraph 32, just to pick a couple points more before we move on. It says here, the framers of the Constitution, and I love this because basically it's going back to what was on the minds of the framers when they wrote and established this Constitution, the law of the land. This is from the Federalist Papers. I think it's number 68. But it says here, the framers of the Constitution decided to select the president through the Electoral College to, it's not a direct democracy. It's not a, okay, let's put it out to the vote and whoever gets the most vote wins. It's not like that at all. It's a constitutional republic. It says here, the framers of the Constitution decided to select the president through the Electoral College, quote, to afford as little opportunity as possible to tumult and disorder, and to place every practicable obstacle to cabal, intrigue, and corruption, including foreign powers that might try to insinuate themselves into our elections. So these brilliant framers, these founders, they foresaw this. And there you have it. You have the state legislatures. You have the Electoral College. You have these safety valves in place to prevent exactly what happened on November 3rd. Mass fraudulent activity on a massive scale. It gives these examples on Georgia, some stats that we ran through, I think from another source. The other day, paragraph 75, it says specifically there were 1.3 million absentee mail-in ballots submitted in Georgia in 2020. There were 4,786 absentee ballots rejected in 2020. This is a rejection rate of 0.37%. In contrast, in 2016, the 2016 rejection rate was 6.42%. with 13,677 absentee mail-in ballots being rejected out of 213,000 submitted, which is more than 17 times greater than in 2020. 17 times greater rejection rate in 2016. And Secretary Raffensperger would get up there and say, this one was even more secure, and I've done this and this and this and this, and we were so careful. And then the lieutenant governor, oh, this was perfect, totally legal. A few little, you know, problems here and there, but for the most part, just really perfect. Oh, what about January 5th? Oh, we've got all kinds of evidence of fraud for the Senate runoff. Yes, yes, Raffensperger says, we've got all kinds of direct evidence of fraud. November 3rd, though, perfect. These are Georgia Republicans that could not wait for the opportunity to conspire against the president to get him out of office so that the grand old party can return to the good old ways of the Republican establishment. That's what's going on here, and they're being exposed. This is paragraph 76. Listen to this. It says, if the rejection rate of mail-in absentee ballots remained the same in 2020 as it was in 2016, there would be 83,000 less tabulated ballots in 2020. The statewide split of absentee ballots was 34.6% for Trump and 65.2% for Biden, rejecting at the higher 2016 rate. With the 2020 split between Trump and Biden would decrease Trump's votes by 28,965 and Biden votes by 54,552, which would be a net gain for Trump of 25,000 votes. This would be more than needed to overcome the Biden advantage of 12,670, and Trump would win by 12,917. You see why they're hurrying? You see that? You see why they didn't want a signature match? They don't want to invalidate any of those votes. Any of them, even if they're fraudulent. And so all, even the recounts, those two done under the cover of darkness. Hurry along, nothing to see here. You know, and then they all said, well, look, I'm a Republican. I voted for him and I wish he would have won. But, you know, the result is the result and we've got to live with it. Listen to, as far as this case is concerned, if it gets through to the Supreme Court, if it's argued in front of the Supreme Court, and there was a news item the other day suggesting that President Trump is asking Senator Ted Cruz to make the oral argument, if it gets that far, should make for some riveting, riveting drama coming out of the highest court in the land. I've even wondered if God's cleared the way for Mr. Cruz just because he is so good, and some of the other lawyers that the president have, they're pretty good as well. But a lot of them have gotten sick just in the last week. I noticed, by the way, that Rudy Giuliani got out of the hospital. I think he was in there for 3 days. He's 76. I believe he's a smoker. 76-year-old smoker. He gets COVID-19. He comes out, he has a similar statement to President Trump that, yeah, once I took this drug that they gave me, I felt better than I had in 10 years. We haven't had much time in recent weeks to talk about all that's going on with COVID-19 and all of these little dictators still imposing their will on ordinary Americans. You may have seen the video of that woman, I think in Southern California, her restaurant. And she had outdoor seating set up under a tent. It was shut down. It's unsafe. It's just unsafe. You can't have people come and eat outside in that close proximity to one another. And she's posting this video online and just panning over to the right and showing this other tent set up by this Hollywood, you know, this big Hollywood production, an outdoor eating facility. The movies, all of that, that's too much money. I mean, that brings in tons of money to California. So that continues. And then this poor woman's restaurant shut down. As I say, we haven't had as much time to get into that. There's so much, as I say, so much to cover. But coming back to this filing, this Texas lawsuit, it's either being dismissed or made fun of. Here's Rachel Maddow on her show last night, clip 3.
This lawsuit is patently insane. This is Texas suing Pennsylvania, Georgia, Wisconsin, and Michigan over how those other states conducted their elections. Now, why does Texas have anything to say about that? Excellent question. Nevertheless, Texas wants the Supreme Court to throw out the election results from all those states and delay the Electoral College vote next week indefinitely. Whether or not you're a lawyer, whether or not you follow Supreme Court jurisprudence, this is as dumb as you think it is. You don't overthink it.
Don't overthink it. It's just crazy. It's insane. It's dumb. And why would Texas? What, Texas and 18 other states now? How many more states will be added to the mix by the end of today? I believe the defendants have till 3 o'clock this afternoon to submit their response to this complaint. When will we get around to actually addressing the merits of some of these cases? That wasn't done with Congressman Kelly's suit, the one we talked about yesterday. Just a one-sentence rejection of the emergency request that they had put on that to hear it right away. But here comes this one, and this one's bigger. And this one actually does have the weight to actually turn the entire election over. Well, you might, just judging by this next clip here, it might be an indication of some Democrats bracing themselves for this to happen. This is that Cynthia Johnson, the Michigan state rep. She was the one in that hearing from, I believe it was a week ago, who basically said, look, all these witnesses, they're lying. She requested of the chair that they be put under oath because they're lying, she said. I know they're lying. And then Rudy Giuliani spoke up and said, look, they're not testifying under oath. That's true, but they're all giving the evidence that's in their sworn affidavit, which is under oath. These people, these politicians can say whatever they want. Never, never, ever are they under oath. And here are all these sworn affidavits. And this woman saying everybody's lying. And then she makes this video, this chilling video, and posts it online for everyone to hear. Here's clip 11.
So this is just a warning to you Trumpers. Be careful. Walk lightly. We ain't playing with you. Enough of the shenanigans. Enough is enough. And for those of you who are soldiers, you know how to do it. Do it right. Be in order. Make them pay.
Soldiers. You soldiers out there, you got to make these Trumpers pay, she says. See, she's been watching this past year. She knows. She knows the ones that are out there on the front lines. Black Lives Matter, Antifa. She knows when the authorities are going to turn a blind eye to mayhem, to violence and looting and burning. She knows. She knows that if the Democrats, if they can't get their way, that they can make cities burn for it. They've got that as their track record. We've seen it. Everyone's seen it. She is an elected representative, that woman. Recording that and then putting it out there for all to see. Threatening. It's just like it's in the same spirit as those people who openly have threatened and doxed all of these election officials that would just want to try to do the right thing. Who will have the courage to stand up to this? That's what the president asked the other day. Just play that last bit again, clip 2.
Let's see whether or not somebody has the courage, whether it's a legislator or legislatures, or whether it's a justice of the Supreme Court or a number of justices of the Supreme Court. Let's see if they have the courage to do what everybody in this country knows is right. If somebody has the courage, I know who the next administration will be.
It's going to take courage for this to happen, particularly when you think about what kind of reaction will come from the radical left. As I say, the fruits of this past year. It doesn't take much to imagine the kind of reaction that there will be. Our correspondent in Jerusalem, by the way, he sent me this story from the Times of Israel. I thought it was interesting, given that, as my father said, only Donald Trump has proven himself to be willing to take a stand. He really is standing alone. He's out there. He's in the spotlight for sure. But look at all that he's going up against. This is from the Times of Israel. It says, what is arguably the earliest inscribed clay seal impression from the land of Israel, used at the court of Israelite King Jeroboam II, has been authenticated after years of strict laboratory testing under the supervision of Ben-Gurion University professor Yuval Gorin. So this is a seal. It was purchased on the black market from a Bedouin back in, I think, the early 1980s. So it's been around for decades, and it's been carefully examined by archaeologists and scientists for at least the last several years, 5 years or so. And only today is it announced, or this week is it announced, that, yeah, this was actually used in the court of Jeroboam II. Here's the second Jeroboam now in the spotlight, at least in the archaeological community. Pretty amazing. It says the oval bulla is almost identical to a rare and now lost much larger jasper stone seal that was found in 1904 by an archaeological excavation in Tel Megiddo by Gottlieb Schumacher. It says both the remarkable lost seal and the newly authenticated seal impression are adorned by a roaring lion that stands with his tail raised, over which is a Paleo-Hebrew inscription, Leshema Ev, well, it has the Hebrew words, the translation, belonging to Shema, the servant minister of Jeroboam. So this was a servant minister of Jeroboam II. It gives the dates of Jeroboam's reign in the 8th century BC. And then it says here, Goren told the Times of Israel that he became aware of the seal impression over 10 years ago. It had been purchased from a Bedouin market near Beersheba. About 5 years ago, the secret in-depth testing of the seal impression began, said Goren. It followed a protocol he had forged over the past decade, which includes a series of overlapping tests from varied scientific disciplines. And so just this week, it's confirmed that yes, indeed, it did belong to this servant minister of Jeroboam II. This same article, by the way, it has a photo of the Hezekiah bulla that we had on display in Armstrong Auditorium, and the photo credit underneath. This is in the same story. I guess it referenced that later on in the piece. But then in the photo credit, right underneath the photo, our photo, it says King Hezekiah Bulla on show at the Armstrong Auditorium in Edmond, Oklahoma, June 2018. Courtesy Israel Antiquities Authority photo, Reese Zollner and Watch Jerusalem. So you can see that if you're watching the stream. You can see that little photo credit right underneath the picture. So some interesting history coming into the light at the perfect time. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. If you'd like to email the program, send comments to td@kpcg.fm. We'll be right back.
This is KPCG-FM, and this is the Trumpet Daily. The world is hopelessly confused about Bible history and prophecy. Understanding the Daniel 2 image could clear up most of that confusion. The Daniel 2 image gives an overview of history and prophecy like nothing else in the Bible. The Bible is a masterful work that should be studied in its entirety. The book of Daniel and the images described therein actually unlock the meaning of the prophecies in the book of Revelation. Our free booklet, Daniel Unlocks Revelation, explains the incredible prophecies contained in these two books. Studied alongside your Bible, this booklet, Daniel Unlocks Revelation, will bring the history and prophecy of your Bible to life. Request your free copy today. There is absolutely no cost or obligation. Email your request to td@kpcg.fm or visit thetrumpet.com. From the Philadelphia Church of God campus in Edstone, England. This is the Trumpet Daily Program with Stephen Fleury.
And we are back with breaking news in our 2020 lead. Moments ago, President-elect Joe Biden's son Hunter announced that the U.S. attorney in Delaware has notified his lawyer that the U.S. attorney has investigated Hunter Biden's taxes. And Evan, what more do we know about this U.S. attorney's investigation?
Jake, we know that this is an investigation that began as far back as 2018. In the recent months, it had been put on hold as a result of Justice Department rules that require, politically sensitive investigations to sort of go at least on pause so as not to interfere with the election.
So where was this report 6 weeks ago? 6 weeks ago, you were banned. If you talked about the investigation's been going on since 2018 for 2 years, and it's all over the news yesterday. And it's you talk about perfect timing. YouTube comes out with an announcement yesterday saying that, look, anybody starts, you start talking about election fraud, the decision's been made. The media has spoken. The safe harbor deadline's over. So we're going to be watching. And if there's any videos that get into the fraud, this is as this Texas complaint is filed with the support of 18 other states. And what does YouTube say? Given that, what? That we've decided. We've decided who won. They said, we'll start removing any piece of content uploaded today or any time after that misleads people by alleging that widespread fraud or errors changed the outcome of the 2020 U.S. presidential election. So there you go. Lots of conservative sites and news centers are understandably furious. The Federalists outlined four conspiracies that YouTube allows to flourish, including Russia stole the 2016 election. That's okay. That's okay. You could talk about Russia stealing the last election, but don't dare talk about the Democrats stealing this one, even as it's being litigated in court. Trump was rigging the election through the post office. That's another one they really have promoted. Still have promoted. 9/11 was an inside job. You can find that all over YouTube. 9/11 was an inside job. George Bush orchestrated it. And then finally, aliens built the pyramids. You want to learn about the aliens building pyramids? Go to YouTube. You want to talk about the Democrats, the radical left, rigging the election? Well, you're liable to be censored. And this happens on the same day that the radical leftist propaganda media are blaring from every corner, Hunter Biden this, Joe Biden this. Oh, yes, it's bad. It's now we know it's three different investigations. They wouldn't touch it. They censored anyone who would. The New York Post was locked out of its Twitter account for weeks, I believe. And in that case, you had the laptop, you had an eyewitness, Bob Alinsky. He was right there in the family. He was part of the dealings. He came forward with that interview with Tucker Carlson. Couldn't be discussed. Couldn't be covered. Now it's very different. Now CNN's all over this. Listen to the rest of this report with this reporter. Perez, I think, is his name. Clip 5.
What we know is that this is an investigation that goes back, again, to 2018 and has been looking at everything from taxes to potential violations of money laundering laws. And it has to do, Jake, with Hunter Biden's business activities in China. Now, in particular, there was an episode that happened in 2017 where Hunter Biden had a meeting with a Chinese businessman by the name of Ye Jianming. And at the end of that meeting, Hunter Biden goes back to his hotel room and he receives a 2.8-carat diamond from Mr. Ye.
So basically everything the New York Post told us before the election is true. That's what CNN is confirming. This is CNN. The Communist News Network. Propaganda news. Now it's okay, and we'll consider why they're getting into this now here in just a moment. But where were they? They were totally uninterested just 6-7 weeks ago, and even went to great lengths to blot out those who would even discuss it, those who would even touch it. This is from Politico now. As I say, CNN's not alone. Everyone's in on it. Now they're all reporting it, almost gleefully. What is going on? Politico says the federal investigation into President-elect Joe Biden's son, Hunter, has been more extensive than a statement from Hunter Biden indicates. So that's how we first learned of it yesterday. It was all orchestrated. The timing, the day after the safe harbor deadline. And then, how convenient, Hunter Biden gets to announce it himself. It's been going on for 2 years. No leaks. Not one leak. And then even when the laptop leaked, we had to keep it quiet. Okay, even when the laptop was discovered and people saw it, they saw the information, we had to keep it very quiet. Now here comes Hunter, and he's able to give a press release himself. He gets to release the information on his terms. And then Vice President Biden, he comes out with a statement later saying how much his son's awesome. Here's Politico. There's more to it than what Hunter Biden says. In addition to Delaware, the Securities Fraud Unit in the Southern District of New York also scrutinized Hunter Biden's finances, according to the person with direct knowledge to the investigation. The person said that as of early last year, investigators in Delaware and Washington were also probing potential money laundering and Hunter Biden's foreign ties. The person spoke on the condition of anonymity because they're not authorized to discuss the matter publicly. So now there's a few strategic leaks. In addition to the probe into Hunter Biden, federal authorities in the Western District of Pennsylvania are conducting a criminal investigation of a hospital business in which Joe Biden's brother, James, was involved. You can't make this up. It's everything the Post was talking about, the New York Post, and they were silenced. It says federal officials have asked questions about James Biden's role in the business, according to a second person with direct knowledge of that investigation who said it remains ongoing. There is no indication that Joe Biden himself is under investigation, but if the cases remain open when Joe Biden takes office, they could complicate his presidency and shine an unflattering light on his relatives' dealings. You think? You think this might kind of be a dark cloud? You see why they went to such lengths to cover it up before the election. They had to get him voted in. What does this say to you, though, about, well, a lot of agencies, the DOJ, the propaganda media, Politico? Speaking of Politico, I just gave you their report from yesterday. From October 19th, this is also from Politico, more than 50 former senior intelligence officials, remember this? More than 50 former senior intelligence officials have signed on to a letter outlining their belief that the recent disclosure of emails allegedly belonging to Joe Biden's son, quote, has all the classic earmarks of a Russian information operation. Remember this? Signed by Brennan and all the top intelligence officials from before the President Trump era. And they all said, look, all of this stuff we're hearing about Hunter's laptop, all the emails that are allegedly coming from him, that's Russian disinformation. That's what Politico was telling us just 6-7 weeks ago. Here's another example. NPR on October 22nd. On their website, it says, why haven't you seen any stories from NPR about the New York Post Hunter Biden story? Here's their answer. We don't want to waste our time on stories that are not really stories, and we don't want to waste the listeners' and readers' time on stories that are just pure distractions. That's from October 22nd. Yesterday, NPR reported President-elect Joe Biden's son, Hunter Biden, says he was recently informed that he is under federal investigation over a tax matter. And then all the other outlets were quick to dump it on top of the Biden family. Actually, it's more than tax matters. We're looking at money laundering. We're looking at this place of this business that Joe Biden's brother works at. The whole family could be dragged into this. Three federal districts investigating the Biden family. Now we know. Okay. Now we know. Now it's being reported. Now it's being reported all across the board. Here's Molly Hemingway talking about the news media and just how corrupt they've been for this and so many other subjects. Clip six.
Yeah, nobody meddled in the 2020 election like big media and big tech. And both of those things you saw with the Hunter Biden story. Yes, today, Hunter Biden himself says it's okay to cover this. It's true. I'm under investigation. But we actually knew that. We knew that back in October. And we knew that not just because it was reported that he was under investigation, but we had that laptop. We had the New York Post stories going into this. We had an eyewitness, someone who was actually involved in the Biden family business, saying that there was this, looked like money laundering situation. And at no point did anyone in the media cover it. They were intentionally suppressing it because they didn't want any negative information to come out about their candidate, knowing that that would hurt his election chances.
So they went from intentionally suppressing it to now they're intentionally promoting it. Now they're talking about it all over the place. And this comes, but I guess 6 weeks before his father is supposed to be inaugurated. If you play along with the fake vice president-elect or president-elect, in 6 weeks... Supposing he's inaugurated in 6 weeks, these are investigations that would obviously go away. So the question is, why is everyone gang-tackling the Biden family all of a sudden? It's a good question. Maybe they know things are about to flip. Or maybe this is the Democrats already abandoning the Biden family, already abandoning their choice for president of the United States. We've talked at length about the puppet master and about how that Joe Biden's just the figurehead. He's just out. He's the puppet up front. Can barely draw 5 to 10 people to a rally. He's been hiding in the basement for months. He has this mysterious foot injury where he's in a evidently, it was a broken bone that only required a boot for about 7 days. He's out of the boot already. Lots and lots of questions. And as Tucker Carlson pointed out on his show last night, lots and lots of Democrats who, powerful Democrats, who really don't like Joe Biden, who really want to get him out of the way. Kamala was Barack Obama's pick from the beginning. But they couldn't get her through because she was so unpopular. Here's Tucker last night speculating, or wondering, I guess, more than speculating, about what might be behind this unfavorable coverage of the Bidens. All of a sudden, clip 9.
The truth is that the real threat we face as a country is from the communist government of China, which, and everyone knows this too, has long been in bed with our Democratic elites, in some cases literally in bed. How do we know for sure that Hunter Biden is under federal investigation? Where'd the news come from? Well, it came directly from the Biden transition team. They're the ones who told us. The confirmation of this investigation was not leaked to the New York Times. It came right from the top of the Democratic Party. We can be pretty sure that Joe Biden didn't want to issue the statement in the first place. Why would he? Who would want to issue it? He issued it because he was pushed. By whom and for what purpose was he pushed? That's the question tonight. Now, we don't know the answer to that. We do know that there are powerful forces within the Democratic Party that do not like Joe Biden.
That's Tucker Carlson on his show last night. Powerful forces in the Democrat Party who don't like him, who want to get him out of the way so that they can carry on with their leftist, their radical leftist agenda. It might be, as I said before that clip, that they know things are about to flip. I think another factor or another answer to why now, well, you look at Tucker himself, I got into this yesterday. He came out with that segment on Monday, exposing this Chinese spy ring. And of course, the Biden family, they're right in the middle of it all. They've made tens of millions, probably hundreds of millions. Peter Schweizer's book, that was getting into this years ago, 3, 4, 5 years ago, I believe. It's a dirty little secret. It's been going on, like Tucker brought out in that segment I played, or that clip from yesterday. It's been going on for decades. And you've got these prominent Chinese officials now. They're out there talking in front of huge crowds. Yeah, it's so easy. It's so easy to buy off Americans, powerful Americans. It doesn't even take that much money, really. $50,000 a month, a few million dollars here and there. Total sellouts. And they go where, as I covered yesterday? They go to Silicon Valley. They go to San Francisco. They go to California. And California, in case you don't know, California doesn't have that many Republicans, at least not in power. That's what Georgia, Pennsylvania, Michigan, and Wisconsin are becoming. Or that's what the radical left wants those states to become. Another California where we've got majority rule forever. Democrat majority rule. Starts with a little bit of rigging the election here and there. Get more and more Democrats in power. Get those legislatures. Get a super majority right across the board. And then we'll never, ever lose our power. The Chinese, I mean, to their credit, they know. They know how many radical leftists here in the United States lust for power. And as I say, they know how easy it is to buy them off. Eric Swalwell, he was trying to answer for himself on Fox. No, I don't guess it was Fox. It was probably CNN because they were throwing him some softballs. Here he's caught with a spy from China, and he's on the House Intel Committee. I think he might have been removed as of this morning or last night. But here he's on the House Intel Committee. And for the last 4 years, he's been talking about Russia and how Donald Trump and the Trump campaign and the Trump presidency, it's all just full of these Russian spies. And here he is in bed with a Chinese spy, of all things. Remember that Axios story? I read it yesterday where when the FBI knew she was a spy, they had all this evidence. They went and they were nice enough to give Mr. Swalwell a defensive briefing. And Martha McCallum, I think she's waking up a little bit as to just how evil and corrupt this radical left is. Because she made the same point last night that I made on yesterday's show. He gets the defensive briefing. Donald Trump gets no such favor from the FBI or the DOJ. Here's Martha McCallum last night, clip 7.
The other thing that really strikes me is the defensive briefing that he was given. As soon as they figured out that she was trying to get information out of him, they went right to him and let him know. And President Trump was not afforded that information. He was basically treated as a target during the course of the investigation into his campaign. Why is the treatment so different?
Yeah, why is there two standards? Why is everything with Hunter covered up until the Democrats say, you know what, you better go public with this because, you know, we're kind of getting tired of you and we've got some other plans. I mean, we've gotten as far with you as we're willing to go. Two standards. She says, why is the president a target? And Swalwell, it's just handled discreetly. He goes ahead and he ends the relationship with this woman and he carries on with his top positions right there in Congress. No big deal. No punishment. Not even a publicity. Nothing. Until now. And after what? a year-long investigation by Axios, a friendly publication, and all of that, perfectly timed. Well, it can't come out before the election. You wonder just how much is about to be revealed. Maybe that's what's behind some of this, whether it's Axios or the Biden transition team coming out with its statement yesterday. Judging by what Rick Grenell, he used to work in the Trump administration, well, I guess he still does to some extent, but here's what he said last night on Fox News, clip 8.
Russia is a problem, but China is a crisis, and we've known it's been a crisis for a very long time. The reality is he spent years downplaying the China threat and overhyping the Russian threat. Eric Swalwell did exactly what the Chinese wanted. We need to figure out, are there others? And I can tell you without giving away too much intelligence, this is the tip of the iceberg when it comes to the leverage that China is putting on our politicians. There's many, many more. There's a variety of mayors, governors, senior people.
Tip of the iceberg, says Grenell. And then he more specifically says a variety of mayors, governors, and senior people. How many more are implicated in this espionage ring? How many more have sold out? How many more are guilty of treason? I was just skimming through part of the Constitution this morning, Article 3, about the Supreme Court, and just the definition it gives for treason there, and then how you go about punishing that. It's as if it's just not even, you talk about lawless. There's so much of the Constitution that really is not even upheld or followed. Treason to sell out to China. How many more are there? Many, many more. Well, it's important for us, and I don't have too much time left to do it. I read from this Key of David program yesterday to conclude, and this morning I went back and got these sound bites. This is from my father's show, March 20th. 2018. This is almost 3 years ago, clip 12.
Peter Schweizer has written a book, which is really quite a bombshell, and he believes, this is his view, and he believes that U.S. politicians are softening their view of China because they have made business deals with themselves and their extended families, to the tune of making millions of dollars, just to soften their views of China and what it's really doing in the South China Sea and other areas. Now, the name of the book is Secret Empires, but China is accused of seeking out influential politicians and then making certain business deals with them and their extended family, so they can make millions of dollars, but they have to soften their view of China. They can't have strong views against them, or they wouldn't make all those millions of dollars.
Quid pro quo. The American officials get lots and lots of money, millions of dollars, and then they reach out to China, establish all these trade deals, whether from state to state. I don't have time to get into Georgia's trade relationship with China. Maybe we can cover some of that tomorrow. But my father in that program, he went on to ask, well, what's the goal here? What's China's ambition? What are they trying to do? And as he explained, they're trying to take over the world. Now you think about what my father has said, what Mr. Armstrong said about the communist infiltration, and all of these areas where the United States has just been utterly defeated. Academia, and even things like the NBA, the market, they've got to get into that Chinese market. Jeff Bezos, Amazon, they've got to get into that Chinese market. And so China can do whatever it wants in Hong Kong or the South China Sea, and you're not going to hear any kind of criticism coming from where? The radical left. Because so many of them have, as my father explained, softened their views. If they're not on the take directly, Well, it's someone like LeBron James who knows that we've got an image here. We've got an image and we've got an audience in China, so we can't do anything to, you know, put that in jeopardy. Well, he went on to say how that you have so many top American officials softening their views and their criticism of China at a time when we should be sounding the alarm. We should be sounding the alarm. Who will have the courage to stand up to all of these evil forces and this intense pressure? Like the president asked on Tuesday regarding China. Well, I'll just refer you to that March 20, 2018 program. But also, you might take a look at the July 2016 trumpet. And the title there says it all. China is steering the world toward war. It's steering the world toward war. And this is something that we should be raising the alarm about. And especially at a time when so many are, they're not saying a thing. They're not saying a thing. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. If you'd like to email the program, you can send comments to td@kpcg.fm. Thank you for joining us on today's show, and we'll see you tomorrow.